for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is tape 2 of 3 of the Inspirational Gifts by Reverend W.L. Duncan.
Now as we continue on in the ministry of the 9 gifts of the Spirit, referring to 1 Corinthians 12:1 again, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. And then the 4th verse, now there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations of the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And for you that have received the inspirational gifts, tape number 1, we have gone into detail concerning what Paul meant when he said there. He said he worketh all in all, and according to the word of God, he was speaking about all the 9 gifts of the Spirit, because he names them later. And then he said he worketh all in all. And what all was he speaking about? He was speaking about the all who had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right, he worketh all the 9 gifts of the Spirit in all. Now many times as we move on in like this, people will say, well, what about 1 Corinthians 12:11? But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now after I'd come into this by revelation, and I saw that he worked all in all, I said, well, Lord, what about that scripture? I didn't understand. I said, you must give me light on it. I was in Canada ministry. God had been moving by His Spirit, and one night I had come home late from the service. It was about 2 or 3 in the morning. I had gone to bed, and as I was lying there, I said, Lord, give me revelation on that. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord said, when did I will your salvation? I said, before the foundation of the world. Now, most of the time, if we would ask, when did the Lord will your salvation? Most people will say, well, when I got saved, when I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. No, before the foundation of the world, the Lord willed your foundation. So then the Lord said, well, when did I will the baptism of the Holy Ghost? I said, well, Lord, if you will my salvation before the foundation of the world, you willed the baptism of the Holy Ghost before the foundation of the world. And he said a third thing. He said, well, when did I will the 9 gifts of the Spirit? I said, well, Lord, before the foundation of the world. Now listen, as the old school has taught that after you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that if you get what they call real spiritual, that the Lord would perhaps give you tongues. If you would fast 40 days, He would give you the gift of interpretation. If you would fast another 40 days, perhaps the Lord would give you prophecy, and so on and so on. Now, that is not according to the Word. This was well before the foundation of the world. And the minute that you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we've done this many times lately, immediately after a person has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we lay hands upon them immediately, and they stand, and they give a tongues message, they stand and prophesy, and they begin to move in, because from the moment that you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as we mentioned in our other tape, you possess of the ability of God, for the 9 gifts of the Spirit are resident at all times, and will operate to the degree that you will move in and have the understanding. Again, I would like to mention, people say that we can get along without the 9 gifts of the Spirit. We've gotten along without the 9 gifts of the Spirit. But look at the chaos that is in the body of Christ today. Look at the chaos that is coming to Pentecost today. We're divided into so many different groups that God help us to come into the unity of the faith because of the move of the Spirit of God. We say that we can get along without them, but look what it has produced. I know people today that are blinded. They can work. They can do carpenter work. They can support the family. They can travel to from one state to the other. It's tremendous what they can do. I've often looked at these blinded people. I say, my, think of the ability. Look at the great ability. And look at all the things that they can do. And then the thought comes to me, yes, look at the great ability they have. But look what more they could do if they had their eyesight. I've seen people that have been crippled by polio. They couldn't even lift their arms. I see them make beds with their head. I see them clean their house in a miraculous way, and they keep it spotlessly clean. I see them taking care of children, the great ability they have. And I say, well, look how tremendous it is and what that person can do. And then the thought comes to me, yes, that is wonderful, all they can do. But look at all the things they could do if they had all of their body functioning the way it should. The church has done a tremendous job. We thank God for the testimony of the church. We thank God for the people that have been saved. We thank God for the door. But listen, let us not be content and sit with ease and Zion with that which has happened. But let us be concerned that we will begin to produce after the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have become partakers of His divine life, and this will operate in and through us. All right, now, we're going to study, first of all, the nine gifts of the Spirit are broken up into three parts. First of all, there are the inspirational gifts, which are tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. Then there are the revelational gifts, which are the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of discerning of spirits. And then the last three, you can call them faith or power gifts, and it is a gift of faith, it is a gift of healing, and the gift of miracles. The first three, which are known as the inspirational gifts, are exactly what they're called. They're inspirational gifts, and they will operate by inspiration and by faith as you move in. All right, let's give you an example like this. Many times we come to a gospel service, and you don't necessarily feel inspired to sing. But God will begin to move, there'll be a singing, a spirit of worship, and as even if you did feel like it, soon you begin to feel inspired to sing, there's power, 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 wonder-working power, or in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory, or victory, victory over all the powers of darkness, victory, when the battle's in array, angel help us in the fray, for God helps those who pray, victory. Alright, you are singing with inspiration. Many times you get down to pray, and soon the spirit of prayer comes upon you, and you're inspired to pray. Many times you get up to testify. There is a spirit of inspiration that comes upon you, and you are inspired to testify. Or many other times, I could use many other illustrations here. It is the same inspiration that will quicken you to give a tongue message. It is the same inspiration that will quicken you to interpret. It is the same inspiration that will quicken you to prophesy. It is the same inspiration, and there's no difference in the inspiration. And when this can become truth and revelation to us, we're going to realize that, oh, it's so easy to yield with the tongue message that will edify and bless the body. It will be so easy to move into interpretation and prophecy, because these are inspirational gifts. Now, for years, the Christians have had the experiences without the knowledge of the Word. Then followed years of teaching of the Word with little experience. But now as we move on into the things of God, we not only have the experience, but we have the teaching on the Word of God. We know because of the Word. So on these days of revival, when God is restoring truth, when the church is being liberated and set free, as I said years ago, when Pentecost first broke out, many of them had the experience, but there was a lack of knowledge, there was a lack of the Word. So much of it went down the drain because they did not have the understanding of the Word. Then as I mentioned in other tapes, many of us can look back to those drought years. And oh, as we look at those drought years, we have the teaching on it, everyone was taught to be so careful you were going to be in the flesh, or be careful fanaticism, or be careful it's going to be wildfire. Many of you know what I'm speaking about. And all those drought years that we felt that we have the teaching without experience. But this is what we notice in days of restoring in the Holy Ghost. We not only have the experience, oh, thank God for the experience. Thank God for the spiritual activity. Thank God for the spiritual life that is coming forth. But we don't stop there. We also have the understanding in the Word. And in these meetings, I believe that there's more teaching and instruction and more ministry on the Word than any services I've ever seen. Why? Because there's restored truth. And as we have the understanding, the devil can't just take that experience afterwards and say, now you have an experience, but where is the Word with it? We have the Word to stand by because of the Word of God that has been enlightened to us and has become a living thing within us. All right, with the restoration, not only are the nine gifts of the Spirit being restored, but the hidden secrets and the mysteries of God are being revealed. And I want to mention concerning here, Paul said that not only would there be the nine gifts of the Spirit. Now, the nine gifts of the Spirit is for the operation for the entire body of the Lord. This causes body ministry. This causes the entire body to function, not just from a one-man rule, as we've mentioned before, but the entire body functioning according to the plan and the will of God. Now, with this taking place, Paul the Apostle said that there would be the ministry of the Apostle, there would be the Prophet, there would be the gift ministry of the Teacher, the gift ministry of the Evangelist, and the gift ministry of the Pastor. Now the church has become lopsided because we've had the three gift ministries to the body, and I want you to follow me here. Thank God for the gift ministry of the pastor. We need pastors, and body ministry does not do away with leadership. It does not do away with the pastor. Thank God for the gift ministry of teaching, for I'll tell you, we've witnessed in these meetings, even in Nampa, Idaho, where the gift ministry of a teacher has been manifested through a man or a woman that has gotten up, and they've taught with the inspiration, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. All right, we've had and we've known about the gift ministry of the evangelist, and the gift ministry of an evangelist is not just some group or team that will come in for a week or 10 days. They're going to sing a lot of beautiful songs. They're going to preach the same sermons that have been preached over and over and over without life, and the same little dismissal that comes at 9:30 or 9:50 and dismisses everyone that goes home. But the gift ministry of evangelists is to come in and to stir, and for there to be action. Any place Paul the apostle went, there was revival or riot. We want to be well accepted by the community. We want to be well accepted by the government. We want to be well accepted by our friends. But a move of God will bring reproach and rejection. And may I say here, many want to be identified with Christ in His glory and the miracles, but they don't want to take the reproach. I've had pastors and wives say to me, well, couldn't you come to my church and couldn't you leave out the victory march? Just couldn't you leave out the dancing before God? Do you have to have all that tambourine playing? I say, well, I'm sorry, I can't. Because many want the word of testimony of people being saved and healed and delivered, but they want it without the spiritual life, or they want it without the spiritual activity. These are days that God is restoring truth to the body, and when we have truth on something and we don't walk in it, that spirit of truth will actually, we open up ourselves to a spirit of blindness and to a spirit of error, and instead of walking in truth, we will walk in error. God help us today. And so why has the body become so lopsided today? Why have we produced and brought forth that which is in the body of Christ today? Because we have just accepted the three gift ministries, which we've just mentioned, the gift ministry of the teacher, the gift ministry of the evangelist, and the gift ministry of the pastor, but it also said the gift ministry of the apostle and the gift ministry of the prophet. The church will be lopsided, and the church will not function as it should until we allow the gift ministry of the apostle and the prophet. But thank God that the five gift ministries, along with the nine gifts of the Spirit, are being restored to the body of Christ, and the body of Christ will come forth strong and sure in the Holy Ghost. Now, many times people believe that if the church has all the nine gifts of the Spirit in operation, it will be a perfect church, that the gifts of the Spirit will make the people perfect and so forth. And if you do not have a tape on the gift of faith and faith of fruit, you must receive that, because the faith of fruit will produce the character of the Lord Jesus Christ in you. But faith of fruit will not produce power, because faith of gift will produce power. Faith of fruit will cause you to walk and allow Christ to be manifested in you and through you in His character, in His divine nature. But faith of fruit will never work a miracle. Neither will faith the gift cause you to walk in the likeness of Christ. And again, I mentioned here, a lot of people said, well, if all the nine gifts of the Spirit are in operation, a church must be perfect. Listen, Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter and the seventh verse, he said that they came behind in no gift. In other words, the nine gifts of the Spirit were in operation in the church at Corinth. And then he goes on, and this is a startling statement here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. Paul said he could not speak to them as unto spiritual, but as carnal. And so the old school will cry out, say, well, if all the nine gifts are in operation, there must not be anyone carnal in the church. All of them must be spiritual. My, they must be the most wonderful. That must be the most wonderful church I'd like to join it. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit will not make a church perfect. Don't misunderstand me. The fruit of the Spirit will do this. We need the fruit of the Spirit. Christ is the fruit of the Spirit. Your flesh, it's impossible for you to be patient. It's impossible for you to be long-suffering. It's impossible for you to have forbearance. And this is a reason that we must not only stop with the nine gifts of the Spirit, but there must be the fruit of the Spirit, which will bring forth the patience of Christ to you as a believer. It will bring forth long-suffering. It will bring forth forbearance. We need the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we need the fruit of the Spirit. Then were all of them out of order with the operation of the gifts? Well, people will say, well, if Paul said that he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, people will say, well, were they out of order because they moved into the nine gifts of the Spirit? 1,000 times no, they were not out of order. They had to grow and mature in the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. If a church or if a Christian wants the people of the congregation to have confidence in him and in the gift that is in operation, he must manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember that. Many Christians will choose to move in, and people say, well, I don't believe that prophecy because so-and-so's not walking the way they should. This is a reason for every person that allows the manifestation of the nine gifts of the Spirit. You must allow the fruit of the Spirit to be manifested in you. So when you speak, it will bring conviction on the body. When you speak, it will bring edifying to the body. And may I say here that when you move into this and the fruit of the Spirit is in operation, then it will cause the walk of Christ and the life of Christ, and it will bring glory to the body of the Lord. Oh, how this is needed. Then you say, well, I'll take the fruit, and others say, I'll take the gift. Now let me say this to you. People with the fruit will often criticize people with the gift and not the fruit, and people with the gift will often criticize those without the gift, but it is up to everyone to get into the same boat and unite their faith together. If you have the fruit and you've never prophesied, then why don't you exercise a measure of faith and prophesy? If you have been manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, why don't you exercise the gift of faith and allow the Spirit of God to move upon you, and you lay your hands upon someone and cast out devils. And may I say to those then that have been aligned the fruit of the gifts of the Spirit to be operated, all right, we're in the same boat. Let us exercise the Spirit of God, and let's allow the likeness of Christ to come through us so that the fruit of the Spirit will be in operation. So if we put those with the fruit in the same boat and those with the gifts in the same boat, we'll all begin to move in the realm of the Spirit and allow God to flow as He has desired. Now, as we mentioned, the inspirational gifts are exactly what they're called. I believe that anyone who has a baptism of the Holy Ghost has the ability of God to operate or to allow any of the nine gifts of the Spirit to be manifested through them, according to the scriptures that we've given you in 1 Corinthians 12:6-7. For years we felt that this one could operate one gift because it was given by God, and another one, as we have discussed to you. But the more we see this, we will see that with the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, that the believers and the Christians should be ready to take instruction and correction without being offended. This is so important. With the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit, we must be open to take correction. We must be open to take instruction. I know people, and this is the reason they get off. The gifts of the Spirit will begin to be manifested, and they'll begin to feel that they're such spiritual beings. And if the pastor will bring instruction, or somebody in the body will bring correction or instruction, they'll think, well, if that's the way they feel about it, I'm going to leave that church, and I'll go to somebody else's church, because they'll let me do what I want to. If a person, and in the move of God, this is one thing I teach to our congregation, this is one thing I speak over and over again, for every person that is used and will choose, and every person that has a baptism can be used, as we brought out, you must keep teachable. You must keep a receptive spirit. You must keep an open spirit before God and the things of the Lord. And if you'll keep a teachable spirit and ready to take correction and instruction, the Lord will continue to use you in measures that you've never known. Because with the operation of the nine gifts of the Spirit, we all need correction. And this is the reason, as a servant of the Lord, I say this before the Lord, if a child sees a need in my life, and they come to me with ministry, I'm open to receive it. If a mother or a father visitor or somebody that just moved in, if they see that I have a need, I'm open and receptive for them to come to me, and I'm ready and willing to receive ministry, because we must be open and teachable concerning the things of God. 1 Corinthians 13:6, Paul said, but love rejoiceth in the truth. Truth will not bring offense. The more Christ lives and moves in you, and the more we walk in the realm of the Spirit, and he knew exactly what he was speaking about when he said to walk in the Spirit, the more we walk in the Spirit and the life of Christ is manifested in us, the greater we will rejoice in the truth, because love rejoiceth in the truth. Now concerning tongues, interpretation of prophecy again, I believe that a person who gives a message in tongues can also interpret and prophesy by manifesting a greater measure of faith. in Romans 12 and 6, and in Romans 12 and 3, it says, according to the measure of faith. Now, when you first move into the gifts, naturally, you're not going to move into a great measure as somebody that has been prophesying or interpreting for years and years, because there's a principle involved. And I don't care if a person first begins to prophesy. I don't care if they stammer, if they stutter. That's not that they're in the flesh, and it's not that they're out of order. Because a person will interpret or prophesy according to the measure of faith. And the greater measure of faith, the more you move in, God will give a greater measure of faith. And that's the reason in our meeting many times we'll call out the youngsters, the teenagers, and other persons who have never prophesied, who have never interpreted, who have never given a tongue message. We lay hands upon them, and they will prophesy, or they will interpret according to the measure of faith. But we'll watch those same persons a month later. They will begin to prophesy and interpret with revelation. The revelational gifts will begin to be manifested through them and in them, life, because they started with the measure of faith that they had. And the more they move in, the greater measure of faith is manifested, because there's a principle involved. He that watereth shall be watered. The more you move in, the more God's going to give to you. Alright, the inspirational gifts, as we have mentioned, they're exactly what the word implies. They are inspirational gifts, and you can choose to move in when there is a need, and the need arises because the anointing abides, and there are many people in whom the gifts are lying dormant that need to be encouraged to stir up the gifts within. Paul the Apostle said to stir up the gifts within, and this confirms the word that we've been bringing out here. How can you stir something up within you that you don't have? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the gifts are there. They've been lying dormant, and this is the reason the ministry of the laying on of hands needs to come forth, so that the gifts of God that are within will be stirred. All right, now, tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. If a person begins a message in tongues, and if he becomes frightened and stops, it is no sign that he or she are in the flesh or out of order. Many times he or she has used the measure of faith that he has, and they need the encouraging, they need the uniting of the faith from the leader and the entire body of Christ to manifest a greater measure of faith. After the Lord moved upon me 8.5 years ago, and I began to move into this realm, the Lord showed me this by revelation. Those denominational people or Pentecostal people that would come in and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if they would begin to give a tongue message, the entire body had the understanding that a fear would come upon them, that they could not finish the message because they had used a measure of faith and fear would come in. I would leave the platform, I would leave the position where I was, and I would walk down and lay my hands upon that person, and I would say, thank God for the measure of faith that has been manifested here. Fear has come. Now we're going to all unite our faith together. And by the laying on of hands, we would stir the measure of faith. We would stir the gift of God. And that person would go on and give an entire message. Now I want to say something here. If you don't do that, that person, after they leave the service, the devil will take advantage, and this has happened across America and even in other countries. The devil will take advantage and say, well, you sure made a fool of yourself in that service. My, you were sure out of order. You were sure in the flesh. They were not out of order. They were not in the flesh. It was not fanaticism. What they need to do is to be encouraged, and all the saints to exercise your faith and to give that full message, and it will cause them to move into a greater measure of understanding. When the entire congregation will have this, then they will have no fear that if they move in, if they get scared, that people are going to criticize them, but they'll have faith to move in because they'll know that the entire body understands. Now we do this with prophecy also. If a person begins to prophesy, and if they have fear, the fear comes, and if they will stop, I'll leave the position where I am. I will go and I'll lay hands, and again I'll say, thank God for the measure that they moved into prophecy. Now they become frustrated and their fear has come, and they're afraid to move on in. It's up to the entire body now to exercise our faith that this person will continue to prophesy the message that God has given. And every time I've seen that God has confirmed his word, and that person has moved into a greater measure of faith and understanding, and it has ministered to the body of Christ, and has brought entire enlightenment to the body of Christ. Now, anything that is a fear is not of God, and anything that will bring bondage upon the body is not of God, but that's of the devil, and we must have this understanding. I remember I had tarried for the baptism of the Holy Ghost from the time that I was 11 until 14 years old. Now, in those years, we were taught to tarry. We didn't have the understanding that you could lay your hands upon people and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and immediately the gift of God would come upon them. They would begin to speak in other tongues. We didn't have that understanding. But I do want to say this. I thank God for those 3 years of waiting upon the Lord. There were times when I would go home from a gospel service after tarrying for the baptism until 12 or 1 o'clock. Everyone would have gone to bed at home. After they were all in bed, I would slip out of bed. I would wait before God for an hour at a time. And I'll tell you, I felt the nearness and the presence of God. And as I mentioned before, I was called to the ministry at the age of 7. And I feel that those 3 years that I separated myself waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they were precious. They anchored me. I can look back to experiences of actually waiting in the presence of God. And it was during those years that I got to know the still small voice of the Lord. And I want to say this here, that sons are led and never driven. Sons of God are not driven. The devil drives, but the Lord leads. And when we come to the place that we separate ourselves and that we will know the still small voice of the Lord, we will know that we're led by the Spirit of God and not driven. So after tearing, actually tearing for hours of the night, many times until 12 and 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, had someone just laid hands upon me and said, receive the Holy Ghost, yield your tongue, and quit speaking and praising God long enough for another language to come, I would have received immediately. But like I said, we didn't have the revelation or the understanding on that. So at the age of 14, I had a glorious baptism, the filling of the Holy Ghost. The Lord came in. It was tremendous. I'll never forget that. Even as I speak about it now, I can feel the Spirit of God coming and surging and surges and the Holy Ghost leaping within me. Well, a short time after this, at the age of 14, there was a fellowship meeting on in a little town by the name of Fairburn, South Dakota. There must have been about 100 in attendance in that little building that night, and they called on me to lead the testimony meeting. After leading the testimony service, I started to lead the platform, and the Spirit of God leaped within me. I gave a distinct, clear message in tongues. Now, had I had the understanding then that I did now, I could have moved in with a greater measure of faith and given the interpretation, but I didn't know that. Nobody gave the interpretation, and that night the devil beat me and said, well, you sure made a fool of yourself. What are all these preachers and ministers and the people going to think about you? And for 14 years, the devil beat me with that because there was no interpretation. And for 14 years, I never yielded to another message in tongues. But this is what I want to say to you. That night after that same service that I had given this clear tongue message, a lady, I could give you her name, she's still alive today, she came to me and she said, Wilbur, I had the interpretation but I didn't give it. Now had she given it, the devil couldn't have beat me down and said that I was out of order or I was in the flesh. Now I'm bringing this up for a reason, because across America there have been those of you who years ago you gave a tongue message and nobody interpreted, and when you got home the devil said, you sure made a fool of yourself, you were sure out of order, you were sure fanatical, my, what does the congregation think about you? And for all these years you've been beat down and the devil has said that gift isn't in you, you were out of order. Listen, you were not out of order. That was not the place. That was not fanaticism. What you need is to be comforted. The bruises need to be healed. Hands need to be laid upon you. And you need to realize that the gifts of God are within you. You can prophesy. You can give a tongue message. You can interpret. And that's the reason all across America, as we minister life and as we minister this truth, many come to me and say, I had the same experience 30 years ago. And since that time, I haven't been able to move in because the devil brought accusation against me. Let me tell you, there's been so much preaching about the flesh and about fanaticism. God's people are afraid to move in. Perfect love casteth out fear. And as we've mentioned to you before, listen, we walk in the flesh, we sleep in the flesh, we eat in the flesh, we do our work in the flesh. And why should we be so afraid that we're going to get in the flesh when we go to the house of God? I'm not concerned about people getting in the flesh. I'm concerned about them getting out of the flesh in the realm of the spirit. James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He went on to say, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. These are years of liberation. I fully believe that this is the year of Jubilee. And for you that are students in the Word, you know that the year of Jubilee is when every captive was set free. When everyone that had been taken into captivity and bondage, for those who had become servants of others, they were liberated and they were set free in the year of Jubilee. The Lord said, and I'm going to turn and read it to you in Luke, the 4th chapter. I'll tell you, thank God that God is liberating by his Spirit. The Holy Holy Ghost is coming upon us and the words of the Lord are actually coming to pass in Luke, the 4th chapter, and starting with the 18th verse. And this is what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. And you know as well as I know that many of the precious saints across the country, they're bruised today, they're wounded today. And this is the reason, and we can say with the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. The anointing abides, the anointing does not come and go. He said, he hath caused me, he said, to heal the brokenhearted. Many of God's people are brokenhearted today, because when you begin to move in, somebody quieted you down. Because when we got everything what we call so decently and in order, according to man's order, we quenched the Spirit of God, and it brought fear upon the body, and the saints are brokenhearted today. But he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised. I believe that every saint of God that is brokenhearted today, every saint of God that has been bruised, every saint of God that has been wounded, every saint of God that has been hurt and crushed because of denominationalism, because of even Pentecostalism. And may I say to you, there is a spirit of Pentecostalism that is not the Spirit of God, that is denying the power of God. They felt that they had it years ago, and yet there is no demonstration of the power of God. The saints are sitting and they're hurting and they're wounded and they're bruised and they're suffering today. But the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I believe as we have moved into the year of Jubilee, that everyone that has been bruised, everyone that has been taken into captivity, everyone that has been taken into Babylon, and has been the Babylonian spirit, because there has not been the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the power of the Lord that has come forth. And let me tell you something, when the glory, the beauty of the Lord is not manifested among the people, that is the Babylonian spirit that is even coming to Pentecost. And that's the reason that the word Ichabod is written over many of our doors today. Just because we posted the name Pentecost outside of the church door does not make the church Pentecostal. Just because we posted the name Full Gospel on the outside of a church, it does not make it Full Gospel. None of us have the full orb truth, because as I've mentioned before, the path of the justice is a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. And we move on into truth, and there will be truth restored until that which is perfect is come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then that which is in part shall be done away with. I feel such quickening and power of the Holy Ghost as I minister to you, because many of you are sitting there, and as the word of God has been ministered, tears have begun to flow again. The fountains of the deep are opened up deep within you. And I know the crushing, I know the hurt feelings you have, but I also know the glorious liberty that has come, because the great clothes have been cut off, and we're moving forth in the liberty of the Holy Ghost. And no longer are our hearts hanging upon the willow, because no longer can they say, well, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And no longer can we sit back and sing, say, well, we can't sing one of the songs of Zion because we're in captivity. But the Lord is giving us songs in the night. And the word of God said, thou shalt be encompassed about with songs of deliverance. And then instead of the spirit of mourning, there shall be the spirit of praise. Instead of the spirit of heaviness, there shall be the spirit of rejoicing. Oh, thank God for the glory of the Lord that is revealing, being revealed. Thank God the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Thank God the children of the Lord are actually realizing that the kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is joy. The kingdom of God is peace in the Holy Ghost. And the more God moves by the Holy Ghost, the more the Spirit of God moves upon us. Our hearts leap within us, and the Holy Ghost leap within us. Why? Bringing and liberating and setting free by the Holy Ghost, because all the captives are being set free. We sing a song that is so precious among the children of the Lord. Grace is flowing like a river, flowing out from you and me, flowing out across the desert, setting every captive free. Listen, saints of God, there's been a dearth in the land, spiritually speaking. Just because we build a lot of beautiful buildings, just because lovely cathedrals are going up all over the place, just because we have degreed ministers, just because we have organs and carpets and grand pianos and lovely annexes and all the rest that goes with it, that is no sign that that has brought revival to the country, to the people of God. Those things will never bring bring liberation. Those things will never bring freedom. I would rather have the old sawdust trail with the old tabernacle and have the Spirit and the power of God in operation and see the saints move on in rejoicing and that the joy of the Lord will become our strength than have all of this that we have counted so important. And may I say again that the Lord looks down and He said, you have need of everything. He said, you're naked. He said, you're wretched and you're blind. We need to have a revival that will stir us from the inside out, for the corruption to go, for the hypocrisy to go, for the pride to go, for the opinion of what man thinks about us to go, that we will be concerned about one thing, and that is the victorious walk in the Lord, that we might be prepared as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Thank God that He is restoring the prophet. Thank God that He is restoring the apostle. Thank God that He is restoring pastors that will not just tickle the people's ears, but pastors that will preach the word of God, and that we won't just hear the word of God, but we will be doers of the word. Thank God that He's sending forth evangelists to stir people, that the unsaved are being saved, and those that are saved are being delivered from demons. Thank God for the ministry, the gift ministry of the teacher, that the word of God is being taught not just by man, not just because it's been the traditions of the elders of the church, not just because this denomination will accept it or reject it, but men that are without fear of denomination, men that do not fear man, men that do not fear the devil, men that do not fear anything except they have the fear of God, and they're teaching the word of God, and that the Lord is confirming His word with signs following. I'll tell you, saints of God, we're moving into the greatest revival that the world has ever known. People are getting into camps today, and I challenge you, I don't care what denomination, organization, even if it's a Pentecostal one that you're in, I challenge you this day to get into the camp of the Lord. Begin to take the word of God. Put a lot of this other stuff aside and take the word of God and let the word of God become a living force in your life. I'll tell you, when you come to this place, you will go from victory to victory. You will go from faith to faith. You will go from anointing to anointing. You will go from glory to glory, because the Spirit and the power of God will be operating in and through you, and it will no longer be you that lives, but it will be Christ in you. Listen, the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth. The word says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And to the degree that you know the truth, to that degree did you know the liberty and the freedom in the Holy Ghost. Again, I would like to say, this is Evangelist W.L. Duncan that is bringing forth the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. And as I bring these forth, I know that the Spirit of God is stirring within your heart, and that you're not only going to hear the word, but that you're going to be a doer of the word. And even as you hear these things, you begin to prophesy. Allow the gifts of God to be stirred within you. Have your husband to lay hands upon you to stir the gift. Have your wife to lay hands upon you, husband, to stir the gift. Lay your hand upon your children to stir the gift. You in the home meetings, lay hands upon each other.
Reading again in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 6th and the 7th verses, and their diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And as we've been considering that He's speaking about all the nine gifts of the Spirit, so He worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit. And the group that He's speaking to are those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all. And the 7th verse, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Now, the thing for us to remember here, and in 1 Corinthians 14 and 13, and we've quoted these scripture to you without the reference, but you must know where these are found in the word. 1 Corinthians 14, 13, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. Now, there should be time given in every service for the operation of the gifts of the Spirit as God leads. And I would say this to every minister, every missionary, every evangelist, every leader of some home group or in a sanctuary, that if you want God to move and if you want the gifts to be in operation, you must give time in every service. There must be a quiet time. There must be a time that people will know that they can move in and prophesy, a time that they will know that they can move in and give a tongue's message and interpret. There must be time given for the move of the Holy Ghost. In most of our services, we are so used to just keeping something going. We're singing, or we're doing something, or we're talking. And it's hard for God actually to have a chance in our service because we just move along so fast. Now, this is man's order. This is not God's order. It's God's order that at every service, if you want the people to move in, they must know that there's a time and there's a place for them to move in.
If the service is quiet for a while, everybody's just sitting, nothing is moving, don't become alarmed. This is law, is the Lord. Don't be alarmed about that, because we must take time to be holy. We must take time to wait upon God as we would expect Him to move. Now, many times there will be a long message given in tongues and in short interpretation, or many times there will be a short message given in tongues and a real long interpretation, and people will say, well, I don't understand that. Now, with the understanding of that, you must remember it is the gift of tongues and it is the gift of interpretation and not the gift of translation. I'm going to say that again because that's so important for you to know. It is the gift of translation instead of it is the gift of interpretation instead of translation. In many languages, it takes 5 words to speak what you can 1 word in another language. And as we remember this, that many times as a person gives a tongue message, a person will interpret according to the ability that God has given. And as we've already considered, they will interpret according to the measure of faith that they've been moving into. And as we realize this, a short message can come. There can be a long interpretation. It is the message that God wants to get across to the body. And the more we realize this, a person will interpret according to the ability that the Lord has given them. Now, there's been great confusion in Pentecostal ranks about how many messages there should be in tongues. And we were taught years ago now if there would be more than 2 or 3 to sing them down, because that person would be in the place or to have everybody to play musical instruments to start to play and to play them down or to pray them down or to shout them down or something, because they said that there would be more than 2 or 3 that was out of order. Now, I want you to take and look with me in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter and the 27th verse, and where most of the teaching of that has come in most of our group has come from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14 and 27, and let's look exactly and see what it says. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3, and that by course, and let one interpret. Now, as I came into this about 8.5 years ago after seeking God diligently for 7 months, my heart was so open for God and hungry for God. And I've actually come to the place, if I didn't see the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, I said, Lord, I'm not going to go on in the ministry. I'm not going to preach one thing and not to have it to be manifested and not to allow the Spirit of God to move. So as we began to move and God began to move by His Spirit, many times there would be 4 messages, 5 messages, 6 messages, 10 messages, 12 messages, and I have been taught against that. And I said, well, Lord, I don't understand, but listen, I knew it was God and I did not touch the glory. Now I want to say something right here. If you want to allow God to move, and if you want the people to move into the things of God as leaders, let's not touch the glory. The minute we touch the glory, and even if something's happening that you don't understand, you better leave it alone, because if you touch that, and if that's going to bring fear upon the body, anything that brings fear upon the body is not of God, but it is satanic, because perfect love casteth out fear. So if there are manifestations and demonstrations that you don't understand, you teach the entire group not just to look at that, but to look into a greater realm, in the realm of the supernatural. And if it is something that would move in the children, remember that the power of God is greater than the power of the enemy. The Spirit of God will overrule every time if you will teach your people to do that. And say if there would be some demonic manifestation, that doesn't need to alarm you. Everything of God does not need to go out the window because of that. Because when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift the standard against him. But as I was mentioning here, when there would be more than 2 or 3 messages, and I have been taught against this since I was 7 years old, and I was taught that any time that there would be 4 or 5 or 6 messages, that was not in order, that was not divine order. So when this began to happen, I didn't put my foot on it, I didn't put my finger on it, because I knew it was God. And so then I began to look in the Word. And in the scripture there in 1 Corinthians 14 and 27, I want you to underline 2 words. I've done it in red in my Bible. It said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3. If there are 200 gathered in a service in one night, and I know this is going to be shocking to many, it would be divine order for every one of those 200 people to give at least 2 or 3 tongue messages and for the interpretation to come forth, because it said, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by 2 or at the most by 3, and let one interpret. Now, that's been interpreted from many of the men of the past and the traditions of men, and they take that as a whole congregation. If the whole congregation nation speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. But it says, if any man, A-N-Y, and then M-A-N, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three. Now, I know that in services, if 200 are gathered there, that all 200 aren't going to give a tongue message, that all 200 aren't going to interpret. I know that, because the anointing abides, and if the Spirit of God is upon you one night, and if you don't get to prophesy or give a tongue message or interpret, that anointing abides, and that will hold over until the next service. Remember that the old school hasn't known this, and they felt, well, if I didn't get to give forth what God laid upon my heart tonight, that that's down the drain and lost. That is not right, because the anointing abides, and the ministry and the message of interpretation and prophecy that God has given you, He's given it to you for the body. And this you must remember, you don't just need to wait till you get to the service to be inspired to interpret or prophesy. But as you walk in the Spirit, as you move in God, the Spirit of prophecy can come upon you when you're sleeping at night. The Spirit of God can come upon you with prophecy when you're on the job. And you say, well, that's going to be exhortation. No, a Spirit of prophecy comes upon you, and God will quicken that which should be brought forth to the body. Now, this is real revival, and this is coming to the place that we realize that we're walking in the realm of the Spirit, that we're walking in the Spirit, and as we walk in the Spirit of God will move upon us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day out of the month, that when we come to the house of God, we don't have to wait, as I've mentioned before, for a glory hammer to hit us on the head, but we have come one with the revelation, one with the doctrine, one with interpretation. We have come, and we're just rejoicing in that which God has done, and we are ready for the body to minister and minister one to another for the edifying of the body. Now, I want to say something here that is very important before I go back to two or three messages and other thoughts that you must know on that as we move in the realm of the Spirit. If you are moving in a doctrine or revelation or something that is really blessing you, and if you must discern very rapidly whether that is being quickened to the body, if it is causing the spirit of the meeting to go down, 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 no matter how blessed you are in testifying or in interpreting or prophesying, you quit right then, because the gift ministry and the nine operational gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit, are given for the edifying of the body. And to edify means to lift, it means to bless, it means to encourage, it means to comfort. And maybe it's blessing you, but if it's not blessing the body, you keep that to some other time. And again, I must say here, when you speak in a message in an unknown tongue to the body, if you have a real soft voice, you speak loud enough, exercise using your voice so everybody can hear. Now, this is just a word of wisdom. As you move in to interpret, if you've got a real soft voice that is hard to hear, you are interpreting that it will edify and bless and comfort the body. If you speak in such a low tone that nobody can understand or nobody can hear you, that's not blessing the body. So speak out. When you prophesy, if your voice is real soft that can hardly be heard, you exercise speaking out loud and louder at home. And when you come to the house of God and you begin to prophesy, you prophesy loud enough so everybody can hear you. Now, that's just common sense, and that's just the word of wisdom. Now, this may shock you when I say this. Many times, as we come to the body, to the body of Christ, and we come to the sanctuary in a group meeting or in the house of the Lord, say if there are 300 people there. All right, as we've been teaching you that tongues, interpretation, and prophecy are inspirational gifts. Say if the 300 will come together, and if 300 would start to give a message at once, the old school would say that 299 of those were out of order, that 299 of those were in the place. This is not true, because it would be a healthy situation that if 300 people would so be walking in the realm of the Spirit, that when we came to the house of God, that every one of the 300 would feel inspired to give a tongue message. You say, well, that would bring confusion. Now, follow me very closely here. If 300 would be to give a tongue message, then 299 of them would hold their peace and allow one person to give a tongue message. All right, now, it would be divine order if all 300 present would feel inspired of God to bring forth the interpretation. And you might say, well, I just thought the spirit of interpretation would be upon one. These are inspirational gifts. If 300 are there, you expect the 300 to sing. If 300 are there and their people begin to praise God, you expect those 300 people to praise God. If their order, the service is moving in another way, you expect them to be inspired to move in. So it's the same inspiration that will cause a person to give a tongues message. It's the same inspiration that will cause a person to interpret. It's the same inspiration that will cause a person to prophesy. And you say, well, what if 300 people would start to give the interpretation? 299 would hold their peace and allow one to interpret, that all may learn. This is according to the Word of God. You have no idea how this message thrills me, because I see it bringing liberation and joy and peace of those that will move into the things of God. So if 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 start to interpret at once, don't get alarmed and don't say, well, so-and-so's moving in the flesh and that was only for one to do, because this is a healthy body. It is a healthy situation. Oh, thank God, I'm looking forward to the time when every person that comes to the house of God will so be moving in the realm of the Spirit that they will be inspired to prophesy. They will be inspired to give a tongue message. We won't have to wait to build it up to that place. And this is actually what the Scripture means in 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, that which will bless and comfort the body of Christ. I might say, if there's a spirit of prophecy, it would not be out of divine order if all 300 would start to prophesy at once. And as I mentioned before, naturally, 299 would hold their peace and let one prophesy, and then the others would move in. Now, in every service, if there are 300 moving in that direction, I know that 300 aren't going to give a tongue message and interpret. I know that all 300 aren't going to move in and prophesy the same night. But as we've mentioned to you, that ministry or that message of prophecy or interpretation that God has given you, if you didn't get to give it forth that night, don't let the devil beat you down and say, well, now you didn't move in, and condemn you and say that you didn't yield to the Lord. The next time you come together, and as the right time for the spirit of prophecy and for people to move into the gift, you move in and prophesy, and God will keep that message in there, because it is given for the edifying of the body. So remember, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, this is not speaking of the whole congregation, this is speaking of the individual and his divine order. Now, in the old school, 1 Corinthians 14:27, and 1 Corinthians 14:29, and 1 Corinthians 14:31 have all been taken as the same group in most of our denomination. But 1 Corinthians 14:27 that we have just spoken of, that speaks of the ministry of tongues and interpretation. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, the word said, let the prophet speak 2 or 3, and let the others judge. Now, a person can have the gift of prophecy and not be a prophet, and a prophet can be a prophet and have the gift of prophecy. I'm going to say that again, because this is the ministry of the prophet, and as we have already taught on these tapes with the restoring of all things to the body of Christ, and when I speak of restoring, I'm speaking of that which is to be, that which is being restored to the body. We brought out that there is the ministry of the prophet, there is the ministry of the apostle, there is the ministry of the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. We've accepted the three because we've known about them, and the minute we begin to minister on this, people say, well, do you believe in a prophet? I certainly do, because it's in the Word. It's one of the 5 gift ministries to the body. They'll say, well, do you believe in an apostle? I certainly do, because it'll say there will be the ministry of the apostle, the prophet, and the teacher, the evangelist, and the teacher. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints, that we all may come into the unity of faith and in the spirit by the Holy Ghost. And so in 1 Corinthians 14:29, that has absolutely no reference to the 27th verse that deals only with tongues and interpretation. And in the 29th verse, let the prophet speak 2 or 3 and let the others judge. Now the Word of God tells us that the thing that God is going to do, and if warning needs to come forth, it is to come forth by the ministry of the prophet. He will reveal it to the prophet first. Alright, if judgment is going to come, it's revealed to the prophet first, so that we will know what to do, and so we'll know how to get upon our face before God and repent, and believe God for a supernatural move, that judgment will not come upon us as an individual or as a group. All right, then, we go on down to the 31st verse, and it says, For ye may all, A-L-L, prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. All right, now, like we've mentioned, that he worketh all the nine gifts of the Spirit in all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And if all who have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost do not have the gift of prophecy, why would Paul say that ye may all prophesy one by one? It shows that all does have the gift of prophecy after they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said it's divine order. Like, I'll use the example again. If we have 300 in the meeting tonight, and as we come together, it would not be out of order if every one of the 300 would prophesy one by one that all may learn. That all may learn what? That all may learn how to prophesy. It says, for ye may all prophesy one by one that all may learn. All right, how are you going to learn to prophesy if you don't start? That's the reason when a person starts to prophesy, I don't care if they prophesy just one line or two lines. I don't care if they stammer and stutter and everything else. When the Spirit of God moves upon them, I'm grateful, and I'll shout just as much when they prophesy, even if they stammer and stutter, as a person does that's been prophesying for 5 years that will prophesy with the word of knowledge and with the word of wisdom, because there's a principle involved. These folks are learning to prophesy. Now, pastors and leaders, I challenge you right now, if you want the juniors, if you want the children, if you want the teenagers, if you want the people in your group or your congregation to prophesy, you're going to have to give them a chance to learn how to prophesy. Now, it takes faith to call people up. I've done this many times. It takes faith on the person of the on the part of the person that is coming that has never prophesied. It takes faith from the congregation, and it takes faith from the servant of the Lord that is going to lay hands for the stirring of the gift. But if we want the gifts to be in operation, and you know as well as I know that across America, in most of the churches, if there's any at all, there's only one or two that are prophesying. What is the church going to do when those mothers and fathers of Israel are dead? This is the reason that the Spirit of God, as we read in Joel, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. This is the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God tells us, for ye may all prophesy one by one. You, in your services, you take time to lay hands upon one. You start at one end and go clear around the group and have them to stand and prophesy one by one, that all may learn how to prophesy. And you will be amazed at the working of God, because as they start with a measure of faith that they have, naturally in a month there will be a greater measure of faith, in 3 months there will be a greater measure of faith, and you will marvel at the working of the Holy Spirit through the juniors, through the teenagers, and through the adults. And then he said that ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Now, the gift of prophecy is given to edify and to comfort the body. If there is warning and judgment that is needed, that is to be taken care of from 1 Corinthians 14 and 29 that we've already mentioned about. Let the prophet speak two or three and let the others judge. The gift of tongues and interpretation and prophecy are never to be used as a wedge or to hold something over somebody's head. If you, as a leader, if you have a word for somebody, you go to that person individually. Never use a gift of interpretation or prophecy to try to drive a point home just to one person. Listen, that is not according to the word. When a person will get up and bring condemnation and guilt and misunderstanding and division, and they'll do it through the gift of interpretation and prophecy, that is not the gift of prophecy, because the gift of prophecy is given to comfort and to edify and to bless. This is exactly what the Word of God tells us. And as we read on concerning the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit, we will bring out here that as a person will move in, how God will honor His Word. And that's the reason, if you're new in moving into prophecy, if you'll prophesy a scripture of comfort, that is prophecy. If you prophesy encouragement, and you can never be wrong, it will never be in the flesh. If you bring comfort and joy to somebody, you remember that. For you that have never moved into prophecy, you begin to prophesy a word of comfort. Even comfort ye, my people. And as you do, God will bless that, and He'll move you into a greater realm. Now, it takes more faith to interpret and to prophesy than it does to give a tongues message. When I or if you would give a tongues message, we're completely at ease, because when I'm speaking in another tongue, I don't know what I'm saying. You don't know what you're saying either, because that is a gift of tongues. But don't let anybody kid you. When you begin to move into interpretation, again, I'll say here, it's not that a glory hammer is going to hit you on the head and that you don't know what you're saying, because when you begin to interpret, it takes a greater measure of faith, because you do know what you're saying. And the devil will say, that's you. And when the devil says that, you say, yes, it has to be me. The Lord has to use your vocal cords. The Lord has to use your tongue. The Lord has to use you. And he has to use you in the flesh. You start in the flesh and move in the realm of the spirit. I pray that this will be a revelation to everybody. So when you begin to interpret, don't you think that you're not going to understand what you're saying? You're going to know every word. And that's the reason it takes a greater measure to interpret than it does to give a tongue message. But again, I say here, for you that have been giving tongue messages for years and years, you move to a greater measure of faith. Don't stay in that same dimension that you've been, but you move in and you begin to prophesy. You begin to interpret. Let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And after you have prayed and hands have been laid upon you, you move in and interpret in the name of the Lord. And it will cause the rivers to flow as you've never known, because there's a principle involved. And the more that we will follow the kingdom principles, the more we will find these word principles that are in the Bible, the more God will honor his word and confirm his word with signs following. Hallelujah. All right, now it takes more faith to prophesy than it does to interpret. You say, well, why is that? All right, if a person gives a tongue message, there's a clue. You know that it needs to be interpreted. And let me say this before I go on. Anytime anybody gives a tongue message, don't you go on and allow that message. I don't care who it's from. I don't care if you say that person's not walking the way they should, or they're not acting just the way I think they should, or they're not doing this right. That is a tongue message from heaven. And don't you go on in any other dimension in the service until you allow that message to be interpreted. You remember that even if you're new in it and you have to move in by faith to bring the interpretation, you do that, because if you don't, that person that is given a tongue message, if you don't wait for that to be interpreted, fear is going to come upon the body. And as I've mentioned in other tapes, they're going to be afraid to move in, and the devil will use that as a wedge, making them feel that they were in the flesh. And all of that's so important. I remember one place we were, God was moving by the Holy Ghost. It was a sovereign move of God. There they had sent one of the officials out from this certain Pentecostal denomination actually to appraise the revival. I have been teaching this for almost 2 months. Always wait. If a person gives a message, to wait for the interpretation. When this leader, this organization came out, a message had come forth when he had the floor, and there he went right on. He didn't wait for the interpretation. Over an hour later, as the evangelist, they turned the service to me, and I got right up in the presence of all. I said, folks, I refuse to preach. I refuse not to practice what I preach. I said, you know that we have ministered that if a message in tongues come, never to allow that not to be interpreted. I said, over an hour ago, this tongue message came. I said, no one moved into the interpretation. I said, whether it's an hour or 2 hours later, we're going to believe God right now for the interpretation, so the devil cannot take advantage of that person that has moved in so beautifully with the gifts of the Spirit. And immediately as I spoke that, the interpretation came forth, and glory, the glory of the Lord came down. The Shekinah glory of the Lord filled the place. Now, a lot of times you say, why did you do that in front of that official? Listen, the flesh is the same on the inside. The cloak makes no difference on the outside. Truth is truth. And that's the reason we need a deliverance from the powers of fear. We need a deliverance from the spirit of fear. We need a deliverance from the fear of what man is going to think. What difference does it make if man thinks? Let's begin to fear God and to walk on into the things of God and be concerned about what the Word says and not just about what man says. All right, now, as we have considered tongues and interpretation, we've considered the ministry of the prophet, and then he said that ye may all prophesy, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. All right, the real test of prophecy is in 1 Corinthians 14 and 25, and I'm going to read it to you. And in fact, I'll start with the 24th verse. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. All right, now remember that. We say, well, will the unsaved understand prophesying? will the unsaved understand speaking in tongues and so forth, and will try to explain anything. God is bringing us to the place that we have confidence in the Holy Spirit. No man cometh unto the Father except the Spirit draw him. They don't come to the house of the Lord. They don't come to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ because of our little show that we put on. They don't come because of the skits. They don't come because of all of this that we have substituted for the power of God. They don't come because you're so nice and you're trying to explain everything. No person comes to the Father except the Spirit draw him. And when the Spirit of God will move upon the young and the old and the middle aged, and they'll begin to prophesy with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, it said, and thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. In other words, it will bring conviction. And we see more people saved. We witnessed this in the service yesterday, denominational people coming in. And I'll tell you, God was moving by his Spirit with travail. The Spirit of God was moving with tongues, interpretation, and prophecy. There were the high shining praises of God. Many of the saints moved in group wide, praising God in the dance and the victory march. I'll tell you, it was a real move of the Spirit of God. You should have heard the word of testimony. There were people that had never been there, denominational people. They came to the office and said, I have men that I haven't broken down and cried for years, wept and wanted to get saved, gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. And again, I say, it takes laboring. It takes striving. God has not called us to striving. God has not called us just for that hard laboring, trying to get the people say that we're called to preach the word. And as Paul the Apostle said, he came not in the words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God. And where there is a demonstration of the power and the Spirit of God, you'll allow the body to minister. People say, well, tongues are signs to the unbelievers. I'll tell you, there are many Pentecostal people who do not believe in tongues anymore, and tongues are signs to the unbelieving believer. Oh, may God stir our heart, and may we begin to, as the Spirit of God has spoken and said, and the Lord said, that he has called us believers. Believers in what? Believers in the operation of the nine gifts of the Spirit. Believers in speaking in other tongues. Believers in interpretation. Believers in prophecy. Believers in casting out devils. Man chose to call us Christians, but the Lord chose to call us believers. And it's in the Word of God, and let's begin to believe, and not only believe, but let's begin to move into the action of that which God has called us. Many people can preach, and preachers are preaching that people should be slain, they should prophesy, they should speak in other tongues. But I'll tell you, saints of God, the division comes when you begin to move in. And they'll say, well, Duncan has them do that, so-and-so has them do that. Sure, that's what we're called to do, to move the people into a walk of victory. It says for us to lay our hands upon, to lay hands upon people and to stir up the gifts of God. We are challenged to move in by the Spirit of God. This is a commission. This is a call of God that is laid upon our heart. And thank God this message is going forth. As we begin to minister this, the Lord began to move upon me. There seemed like I walked alone for 3 or 4 years. But suddenly, I began to meet people in New York, in California, all over the country. And I've often said this, it was like one man had taken all of us, and we were sitting in a class. And that's actually what it's been, because it's been the Holy Spirit that has been the teacher. And many of us that have never heard of each other, we've never seen each other, we've never heard each other's name. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit around the world, because as I've brought out to you, he is the Spirit of truth. And there, one by one, he's taken us into the classroom, and we've been taught by the Holy Ghost. Therefore, we're speaking the same terms. We're speaking the same language. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is our teacher. Oh, I am glad for that. That's the reason I put a lot of books aside. Listen, we can substitute psychiatry. We can substitute psychology. We can substitute program. We can substitute everything for the power of God. But the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. And when we begin to move into this realm, we'll see the unsaved saved. We'll see those that need a touch in their body healed. We will cast out demons in the name of the Lord. Those that are bound and they have no liberty and freedom, they will be liberated in the name of the Lord, and the Spirit of God will begin to flow. And may I say again here that every one of us will lose our identity. You can't tell the assembly from the four square and the four square from the oneness and the oneness from the Baptist and the Baptist from the Methodist and the Episcopalians from the Presbyterian. You can't tell one from the other, because we all lose our identity. For Christ said, if I, even I, be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And oh, how precious it is for the saints of God to begin to flow together in the unity of the Spirit. Now, as we move on into things of God, There's a scripture that I would like to share with you in Jeremiah, the 31st chapter, and starting with the 12th verse, Jeremiah 31 and 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And as we've told you here, the word Zion means an elevated place. It means lifted up. All right, why are we elevated? Because we have been raised up together to sit with Christ in heavenly places. And Jeremiah saw it here. He said, therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion. And they shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together. For I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and make them rejoice in their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. Thank God that's the ministers that are becoming partakers first. The husbandman must be partakers first. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And in Jeremiah 31 and 16, thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. I'll tell you, our children shall come again from the land of the enemy. Those that are away from God and out of fellowship with the Lord will hear, and they will come back to the house of the Lord. And when they come back, there will be something for them to come back to, because the joy of the Lord is in the house of God, and there will be more feasting and more for them that he had, more for them to find in the house of God than in the world. Oh, I'll tell you, as these folks come back, the Lord is putting the ring about their finger. He's putting the garments about them. The fatted calf is being killed, and there's rejoicing in the house of the Lord. Why? Because I'll tell you, the Lord is giving fresh manna from heaven. The Lord has spoken and said, I will do a new thing. And he said, and it shall spring forth, and it shall come forth in righteousness. And thank God, this thing that God is doing, we're going to move on and minister, make some tapes on the ministry of travail. I'll tell you, God is seeing the travail of his son, and he is making many righteous. And for those who have struggled to walk a walk of victory, thank God for the travail of the son, where Paul said in Galatians 4, he says, I travail in birth, he said, and shall Christ be formed in you. I'll tell you, it's no wonder the word said, I'll do a quick work, and it shall spring forth, it shall come forth in righteousness, in a right standing with God. And when this happens, we have to give up unrighteousness. If we want peace, we have to give up the opposite of peace. If we want rest, we have to give up the opposite of rest. And when Christ comes in and Christ has formed it, it is his rest. It is his peace. It is his joy. And again, as Jeremiah said here, therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. Thank God, God's people are beginning to flow together to the goodness of the Lord. They're coming with singing. And as we've told you before, the word of God says, thou shalt be encompassed about with songs of deliverance. This means songs in the night. This means a song when the circumstances are going against you. This means a song when there's sickness. This means a song when loved ones are taken. This means a song when you're misunderstood. Thou shalt be encompassed about with songs of deliverance. And all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation, God had appointed singers to go forth and sing in the name of the Lord. And that's the reason, with the restoring of the glory of God to the body of Christ, there is a restoring of the high-sounding praises of God that no musical instrument can come up to it. Nobody can do it in the natural, because we are not in the natural, but we are projected into the realm of the supernatural. When God's Spirit will take your vocal cords, when God's Spirit will move upon you, and you will begin to move into the high sounding praises of God as you've never known and as you've never moved into, because these are days when Joel said, I will restore, and the Lord said, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. These are days that we're expecting a visitation of God's power. These are days I'd rather be alive today than during 1900 or the Welsh Revival or the day of Pentecost, because the glory of the Lord is coming forth today, and the world is going to know a visitation of God's power that is going to shake the world for his glory. All these things of denominationalism and all of these other things that have corrupted the way, they're going to be shaken, and there's going to be the former and the latter rain in the first month together. This is W.L. Duncan ministering on the ministry of the nine gifts of the Spirit. May you continue to keep your heart open, that the Lord may reveal to you by revelation that which he has in store for us today.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.